Hello again, welcome to the program. We're here continuing in our study in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, we have this very interesting phrase, "This is that." Acts 2, 14 to 16, we read, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them," who? "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem." Now here he's referring to those, it says in Acts 2, 5, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So he's saying, ye men of Judea, and those Jews that had come in for the Passover, "be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now Peter quoted here directly from Joel in chapter 2 in the book of Acts. God has not left us to speculate what was happening on the day of Pentecost. Verse 16 plainly tells us this, what was happening there 2,000 years ago, is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel spoke nothing about the local church age. Acts 2:17 again, "It shall come to pass in the last days," referring to the last days of the dispensation of the law, saith God, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The daughters are going to prophesy. Should we have women preachers? Peter was not talking about something that was going to happen 2,000 years down the road during the last days of the local church age. He was talking about what was happening on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This, what's happening is that," what Joel said. He was talking about the last days of the dispensation of the law. In Hebrews 1 and 2, God said, it tells us that God hath in these, present day, present tense, in these last days, 2,000 years ago, spoken unto us. So the last days he was talking about was not the last days of the local church, it was the last days of the dispensation of the law. The book of Hebrews was written to reveal to Jewish Christians who had gotten saved that Judaism had come to an end. Now, Philip's daughters prophesied in those days. Quoting Joel 2:28 and 29, again we read, "Your daughter shall prophesy in those days." Now, Joel is quoting what is going to be future, and that was happening in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, Paul is explaining what has happened prior to chapter 21, and he said, "Philip the evangelist had four daughter virgins which did prophesy." It's already past tense when Paul's talking about this in Acts 21. Now, if we're going to force the local church into this portion of Scripture, we have no right to take what we like and leave what we don't like. If the local church is the focus here, we better start having women preaching and we better start speaking in tongues. Many doctrines held by the promoters of the charismatic movement would never have received these doctrines, no thinking Christian would, if these verses were kept in their context where they belong. This portion of Scripture has absolutely nothing to do with the local church. Now consider the last days of the local church age. When Paul wrote about that, he said about these last days in 2 Timothy 3:1, he was referring to the local church age. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now notice here, he's talking future tense. Peter said, "This is that," present tense, "that was happening that Joel had prophesied." Later in his epistles, Peter also referred to the last days of the local church. In 2 Peter 3:3, he said, "There shall come," future tense, "in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." The Bible says in the last days of the local church age that Jesus would be denied entrance into his church. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is opposite of the last days of the law recorded in Acts chapter 2. And so within a very short time, back then, thousands upon thousands were receiving the message preached by Peter, and that message was about the literal kingdom for Israel. Now, the prophecy of Joel is completely Jewish. Joel 2:27, I am in the midst of Israel. Joel 3:2, my heritage Israel. Joel 3:16, the voice from Jerusalem. Joel 3:16 again, the children of Israel. 2:32, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. 3:1, the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. 3:6, Judah and the children of Jerusalem. 3:16, uttered his voice from Jerusalem. 3:16 again, the strength of the children of Israel. 3:17, then shall Jerusalem be holy. Joel 3:20, Jerusalem shall dwell, or Judah shall dwell forever. And then 3:20, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Now, it's all completely Jewish. If a men's meeting and a nursery worker meeting, they're quite different. If an announcement was made next Sunday in church concerning a men's meeting and the word men was repeated 14 times, would we assume the meeting was for nursery workers? The word Israel is mentioned 14 times in the first 9 chapters of Acts. Why would we assume this portion of God's word is talking about the local church? We need to keep the whosoever's in context. The phrase whosoever shall call appears 3 times in the scripture. 1, Joel 2:32, and it says whosoever shall call shall be delivered, talking about Jerusalem being delivered. Jerusalem shall have deliverance, it says here. Then in Acts chapter 2, when Peter is quoting Joel, he said, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the word was translated delivered in the verse that Peter was quoting from Joel chapter 2. So here we have whosoever shall call twice, both referring to what was being preached at that time. Then we have Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here it's talking spiritually. Now, being saved is not always talking about going to heaven. Most of my life, if someone talked about being saved, I would assume they were talking about trusting Christ as Savior. We should never put our own preconceived meanings into the Word of God. Bible words must always be studied in the light of their context. Jeremiah 37 speaks of the tribulation as the day, that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble, and he, Israel, shall be saved out of it. Nothing to do with going to heaven. Being saved here is not talking about trusting Christ as your personal Savior and then going to heaven. In Acts 2:21, when Peter was talking about the Jews being saved, we must keep that statement within its context. He was not talking about salvation of individuals for the purpose of going to heaven in this portion of Scripture. He was quoting Joel's prophecy that said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel's obviously referring to the nation of Israel being saved physically from her enemies. Concerning the birth of Christ, we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 71 and 7-73, that we, Israel, should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That does not diminish the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Remember, when Jesus was presented in the temple, Simeon said Jesus was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We just have to keep these verses in their proper context. Now, the context of Peter's whosoever. Two important messages were being preached during the early part of the book of Acts. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts, two very important messages were being preached. One was the message of salvation for eternal life. One was about Israel's kingdom. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching about Israel receiving her king and her kingdom and thereby being saved from her enemies. They rejected Peter's message, and in AD 70, their enemies slaughtered the Jews and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Now, under the command of Titus, 30,000 troops battered the walls and entered the city. They destroyed everything, including Herod's temple, exactly as spoken by Christ 40 years earlier. He said in Matthew 24, 1 and 2, we read, "And Jesus went out and departed." He went out and departed. That means he went out and he wasn't coming back from the temple. And his disciples came in to show him the temple, the buildings. Look at all these buildings. We're not going to leave those behind. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now the population and the great number that came in at the Passover had been trapped there, and they were brutally slaughtered, along with an estimated 600,000 Jews. If they had received their message and the kingdom, they would have been saved, delivered from their enemies. Now Jesus said in Luke 19, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." They rejected him, will not have him reign over us, therefore they were not delivered. Now, Israel being saved from her enemies, just a few verses. We could put more. Numbers 10, 9, "Ye shall be saved from your enemies." Samuel 19, "Save us from the hand of our enemies." 2 Samuel 22, "So shall be saved from mine enemies." Nehemiah 9, "Save out of the hand of their enemies." Psalm 18:3, "Saved from mine enemies." 44:7 in Psalms, "Thou shalt save us from our enemies." 1 Samuel 4, "Save us out of the hand of our enemies." 1 Samuel 7 and 8, "Saved out of the hand of the Philistines." 1 Chronicles 16:35, "Save us from the heathen." Psalm 106:47, "Save us from among the heathen." Not talking about going to heaven, talking about being saved from their enemies. Paul's "whosoever" refers to individuals being saved. Romans 10, we read here that he said, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now this is totally different. Paul was referring to individuals being saved in a spiritual sense rather than in a physical sense. When it comes to the salvation of the individual, he plainly says there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. When it came to the message for Israel's kingdom, there was a difference. So when we refer to the nation of Israel being saved from her enemies and having a literal kingdom established on the earth, there was a difference between the Jew and the Greek. So be sure and be with us for our next program. We'll continue it from here.